You should have a page of Totzos Chaim which has two sides on them, and I hope they're...
Yeah.
I've had some pretty challenging moments here today with the computer, so I hope that at least this one came out.
Anyone needs it? I think I hear it. No.
Is there anyone else who needs a copy of the Totzos Chaim?
There's one here anyway. Yeah.
Okay, there's one extra one there. Our discussion is focused on Chatzi Shir, whether or not it's applicable to Shabbos in the same identical way that it applies in Kol HaTorah Kula. And then we activate the sugya at the end of Yuma and the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan that Chatzi Shir Asur Min HaTorah, or is Chatzi Shir in the case of Shabbos a whole different entity and it is an absence of Moleches Machsheves? And we pointed out that Rashi in Masechta Shabbos assumes and applies the principle of Chatzi Shir Asur Min HaTorah to the case of Moleches Afia in the situation where on Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph he bakes half a grogeres, and Rashi says he violates an Isur Min HaTorah because of the Gemara at the end of Yuma Chatzi Shir Asur Min HaTorah, and Rashi seems to be activating the universal principle of Chatzi Shir, applying it as it were here to Shabbos. Similar to Rashi on Daf Ayin Beis, where Rashi says that Misasek, where a person intended to lift something, like a knife that fell, and instead he cut something, which is called Chatach Es HaMechubar, detaching something, Rashi says that that's Patur because of the Pasuk Asher Chata La, which is a pasuk that refers not to Shabbos but to other Isurim. So Rashi seems to be consistently applying universal Pturim to Shabbos. On the other hand, in contrast to Rashi on Daf Ayin Dalet, we had the Rashbam in Masechta Bava Basra on Daf Nun Hei, and there we saw that according to the Rashbam, the Ptur of Chatzi Shir with regard to Melech Shabbos is not a ptur of Chatzi Shir, which would mean that it's awesome in a Torah, but rather it is a chisaron of Moleches Machsheves. And the difference between the two, we suggested, might be explained in the following way. Just like if a person violates Hotzah on Shabbos, and he does an akira by lifting up the object, but he didn't do a hanocha, that's only an isur d'rabbanan. And in fact, Rashi himself tells us that that is only an isur d'rabbanan. Nevertheless, in the case of Chatzi Shir, Rashi says that baking a half a grogeres is a violation of an isur Torah because Chatzi Shir osur min haTorah. And says the Totzos Chaim, there's a fundamental difference between the two. In the case of oker without hanocha, that he calls a chatzi molacha. He hasn't done the entire molacha. In the case of a chatzi gogeres, he baked a full-fledged afia. There's nothing lacking in his afia. However, he didn't do it a shear of grogeres. That's a chatzi shear. So Rashi on the one hand would maintain that if you're dealing with the preconditions necessary for a particular malacha, and one of those conditions in the malacha is absent, then you have not violated an Issur Torah. You didn't do the malacha, you didn't implement the malacha. That's only Asur Min Rabbanan. That's the case of Akira without Hanukkah. But if you did the entire malacha, just that you're lacking in the shear, i.e., you know, you did a half a grogeres, in that case Rashi holds that's chatzi shear Asur Min HaTorah. Comes along the Rashbam, and he says, no. He says, every case of Chatzi Shir in Melech HaShabbos is a chisaron, is missing in what we call the Shem Melacha. There's no Melacha here. It's not Meleches Machsheves. And the reason for that is, says the Totzos Chaim, because Pachos Mikashir Eino Dover Chashuv V'Lav Meleches Machsheves Hu, Kishachoser Ashir Lohavi Malacha Klal. In other words, according to the Rashbam, half a shir is the same as akir without anocha. Just like we said, akir without anocha is not a complete malacha, so to a chatzi shir, according to the Rashbam, is not a complete malacha. Why? Because when the Torah sets up a minimum shir, that defines the chashivus of the malacha, and if he didn't do a malacha chashuva, then it's not called malachas makshevus, which means it's not a malacha at all. The Torah says that malacha has to be a malachas makshevus, and if it's not a malachas makshevus, it's not a malacha. The machsheves, which means the chashivus, is a tnai, is a precondition that, or call it an adjective, that describes malacha. What is malacha? It's got to be malacha chashuva. And if it's not a malacha chashuva, it's not a malacha. Comes along the Totzos Chaim, and this you'll see in the second paragraph, and he quotes a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Kuf Hei Amud Aleph. So let's take a minute to open up the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Hei. And we mentioned this in the past, but very, very quickly. We didn't really get a chance to get into it. And that's called, in the language of Rabbi Gamliel, Ein Yediyah Lechatzi Shir. What does this mean, Ein Yediyah Lechatzi Shir? A person violated a full malacha. He did kashir. He actually carried a full grogeris from Rishus HaRabim, and he left it down in Rishus HaYochid, or he baked an entire grogeris worth of food on Shabbos inadvertently without remembering that it's Shabbos. So he's a shogeg. But there's a tnai in shogeg. When is a shogeg chayav? That's only when he has a yediya. He finds out later that what he did was a violation. What happens, says Rav Gamliel, if he finds out that he violated half a shear of malacha? He did not implement the entire malacha. That's what he found out. Later on, somebody notified him that he violated the full malacha. We can talk about ksiva, for example. Let's say, after he writes two osios, he finds out that he wrote an os on Shabbos. Then someone else tells him, or he finds out in some way, that he wrote another os. So he has two separate yedios. Each yediyah is on half of a malacha. A man was tofesh two tefiros, and he finds out about one tefirah, and that's his first yediyah. Then he has another yediyah, and he finds out about a second tefirah. So basically we have a piecemeal kind of yediyah. Each yediyah was on a chatzi shir. Obviously when he gets the second yediyah, then he knows about the full shir. Now, if you follow the language of Rav Gamliel, which is, by the way, the last statement in Masechta Shabbos Perek Yud Beis, Perek Abona, so Rav Gamliel says that Rav Gamliel Sovar Ein Yediya Lechatzi Shir. What does that mean, Ein Yediya Lechatzi Shir? Do you see it? Mm-hmm. If you have the Gemara, it's the Rabbanan say yesh yediyah lechatzi, but we're focused now for a moment on Rav Gamliel, who says that ein yediyah lechatzi shir. Now, what does that mean, ein yediyah lechatzi shir? So if you take a look, Rashi actually interprets Chachamim. He doesn't say a word about Rav Gamliel, but from Rashi on Chacham, I think we can extrapolate what Rashi would have said in the flip side for Rav Gamliel. Again, this is about 10 lines down from the top of the page. I don't have a Steinsalt, so I can't tell you where it is here. But in a classical, you know, Shas Bavli from Vilna, it says on the last Rashi on in Masechta, in the Perek Habone, it says, Yesh Yedil Chatzishir Lechalek Imo Chatzi Ha'acher, that according to the Chachamim, when he finds out about a Chatzi Shir, that already that already separates his yediyah. And when he finds out about the other chatzi shir, that's already a whole different yediyah. Each yediyah is on a chatzi shir. He never had a yediyah on a full shir. And why is that? Because the Chachamim validate the significance of the yediyah of a chatzi shir. That gets a significance of sort such that we cannot integrate the second yediyah on the second chatzi shir with the first yediyah. The first yediyah remains a separate independent entity. Whereas from Gamliel, so what's the upshot of that? Therefore, according to the Chachamim, he is potter from a karbon. Why? Because he never had a yediyah on the malacha. He only had a yediyah on a chatzi shir. That yediyah remains an outstanding yediyah unto itself on chatzi shir. He never had a yediyah on a malacha. Comes along Rav Gamliel, he says, no. Ein yediyah l'chatzi shir. What's ein yediyah l'chatzi shir? That yediyah is not a separate entity because it doesn't register. A yediyah has to be a yediyah ha-malacha, not a yediyah sachet, but a yediyah ha-malacha. And he never had a yediyah ha-malacha with the first yediyah. When did he finally clinch his yediyah ha-malacha? When did he finally become aware of the fact that he implemented a full-fledged malacha? When he got the second yediyah. And now we can take the first yediyah, integrate it together with the second yediyah, and form one yediyah, because the first yediyah was never registered. It never, so to speak, clicked onto itself. It was always sort of suspended in midair. That's called yesh yediyah. That's called ein yediyah l'chatzi shir. Ein yediyah l'chatzi shir means the yediyah is somewhat suspended, I call it, in midair, such that the second yediyah can now link up with the first yediyah, and he's chayav a karma. That's Rav Gamliel. Says the Totzas Achayim, the same sugya appears in the Yushalmi. Again, at the end of the 12th perek. But there's one difference. The Yushalmi gives another explanation for Rav Gamliel. Why does Rav Gamliel say Yachayim? Taman means in our presence, he explained that Ein Yediyah Lechatzi Malacha. So the Totzos HaChaim wants to suggest that there's a fundamental difference between the language of the Bavli and that of the Yushalmi. The Bavli sees Chatzi Shir as a very significant, let's say, violation that has to be reckoned with. Chachamim went very far. They called it a Yediyah. Rav Gamliel wasn't willing to go that far. He felt it's only Chatzi Shir. It's not a full Shir, so it's not a Yediyah. Therefore, it can be integrated with the second Yediyah. But according to the way the Bavli said it and formulated it, Rav Gamliel was recognizing the first half of Grogeres, or the first oath that he wrote out of two osios, as a violation of sorts. It's a violation called Chatzi Shir. The name of the baby is Chatzi Shir. The Yushalmi has a different name of the baby. The Yushalmi says the Chatzi Shir is really what? Chatzi Malacha. Again, you don't have the Yushalmi, but you have the Totzos Chaim. So wait a minute. It's very important to me that you open up the Totzos Chaim. We're on Os Beis, which is the second paragraph. You see where he quotes the Yushalmi? I think it's on line 2. What Rabosai is the language of the Yushalmi? Anybody? How does Yushalmi formulate Rav Gamliel? Ein yediyah, Alan said it louder, l'chatzi melacha. Beautiful. Now, what Rav Gamliel is saying is that you know why that first yediyah doesn't register? Because it's not even a melacha. It's a chatzi melacha. Take the melacha and cut it down right across the middle. What does that remind you of? What case did he even Rashi agreed that it doesn't match up to Chatzi Shir and it's not a Malacha? Ze Oker V'Eino Meniach. Right? Because we split the Malacha down the middle. The Malacha has to be constituted of what? Of an Akira and an Anocha. He only did the Akira, he didn't do the Anocha. The Yerushalmi seems to assume that if he did a Chatzi Grogeres, it's like he did the Akira without the Anocha. It's not even a Malacha. It's a Chatzi Malacha. And that's why Rav Gamliel is of the opinion that Ein Yediyah, there's no validation to such a Yediyah, because you need a Yediyah's Malacha, which entails a violation of Shabbos. He didn't have a Yediyah's Malacha. He had a Yediyah of a Chatzi Malacha. And now, the Totzos Chaim is absolutely convinced, and he won't budge that there's a fundamental machlokas here between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. This is not secondary, this is not coincidental, this is all deliberate. Whereas the Bavli calls it Chatzi Shir, the Yerushalmi calls it Chatzi Melacha. So Rabbo said, what happens when a person writes one os? The Yerushalmi, let's start with the Bavli. The Bavli would say, you wrote one letter, that's called a Chatzi Shir. The Yerushalmi would say, you wrote one letter, you didn't even do a malacha. There's no malacha. Chatzi shir means you did the malacha, but you didn't do enough shir. He didn't do the malacha at all. That's called a chatzi malacha. Now, on the one hand, you know, Rashi could be very excited about the language, the formulation of the Bavli, because Rashi says that if you bake half a grogeris on Shabbos, that's called chatzi shir osam in Torah. Rashi, on the other hand, is going to have a big problem with the Yerushalmi, because Yerushalmi says in the case of Ksiva that if you wrote one letter, that's called Chatzi Malacha. The Rashbam, from his perspective, would be very excited about the Yerushalmi, because Yerushalmi says that it's a Chatzi Malacha, and that's exactly what the Rashbam would maintain. You don't have a Chashuva, you don't have a Malacha Chashuva if you do a Chatzi Shir, then it's lacking in the very essential definition of a Malacha. On the other hand, we have to admit that the Rashbam is going to have a problem with the Bavli, because the Bavli calls it Chatzi Shir. And that Chatzi Shir phrase is a borrowed phrase, it's a universal phrase, and Chatzi Malach is called a Chatzi Shir in the language of the Bavli. Now here I want to reiterate something that I may have said in the past. Did I ever mention Rav Mordechai Bennett? Or Bennett? Okay, Rav Mordechai Bennett was one of the great geniuses some 200 years ago, more a little bit. And he wrote many different sfarim, one of which is a Sefer HaMeleches Shabbos. It's called Magen Avos. And in his Magen Avos, he says that, you know what? There's no clear-cut answer to the question whether or not Chatzi Shir is a Chatzi Malach or it's a Chatzi Shir in the universal sense. It all depends upon the Mishnah on Ayin Gimel in Klal Gadol, which enumerates the 39 malachas. In some cases, the Mishnah goes out of its way to mention the shir. How much do you have to do of that malach in order to violate that malach? In other cases, the Mishnah omits the shir. When the Mishnah went ahead and adds the shir, then the Mishnah wants to tell us a chiddush that the shir defines the malacha. And without the shir, if it's chatzi shir, essentially you don't have the malach. In other cases, the Mishnah omitted mention of the shir because the malach exists even without the shir, and all you have is a chatzi shir. So, for example, what would you guess the Mishnah is going to say if you don't know the Mishnah by heart? I mentioned to you once that in the Chadorim today, they make sure that the children know the Mishnah by heart. What would you say about Kosev? Meleches Kosev.
Yeah, it says.
Yeah? Okay, very good, David. I'm impressed.
I think everyone wishes
I guess you learned it.
They're separate units. If they're separate units, it says. And if it's a mass, it doesn't say.
So I don't know about separate units and a mass. I can just tell you what the Magen Avos says. And he wants to say that when you get to Meleches Kosev, which I'm trying to find here in the Mishnah, it says HaKosev Shtei Osios. Says the Magen Avos, why did the Mishnah offer me that information? In many other malachas, in most other malachas, it didn't offer that information. And the shir is not mentioned. The answer is because in Meleches Kosev, the Shtei Osios defines the very essence of the malacha. And if you write only one os, then you haven't implemented Meleches Kosev at all. On the other hand, in the case of, let's say, Afia, it just says Ha'ofer. Well, I'm a Vasha, which is like a Ofer. It doesn't mention anything about a Shir. If that be the case, then the Shir of Grogeres doesn't define the very essence of the Malacha, and if you bake or cook half a Grogeres, then according to the Magen Avos, you have violated Malacha Safiya, albeit, but it's only a Chatzi Shir. But the Malacha was done. It was only done on a Chatzi Shir, but it was done. In the case of Ksiva, if you write one letter, then that's not considered a malacha at all. What do you say?
One and a half.
I don't even think one and a half would be enough.
This is the half a nut here.
Now, I wanted to look in the Rambam, Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Yud. Let me just see if I can find something here. Perek Yud Aleph. The Rambam says that if you write not two letters, listen carefully, but the same letter twice. So normally, you know, under the general laws of Hilchos Shabbos, you would not be chayav for such a thing, because you just repeated the same thing over and over again. But he says that sometimes you are chayav in Meleches Kosev. When? HaKosev os kfula pa'amayim for hu shem echad. Kamo dad, tat, gag, rar, sha, sheish, sus, I don't know, seis, chach, chayav. He gives you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 examples of words that are formed by the same letter twice. And in that case, the Rambam says you're chayav. What obviously, according to the Rambam, plays a major role in Meleches Ksiva? Mitch? Well, again, the Rambam is saying that although the general rule is that if you repeat the same letter twice, you're not chayev, but in 7 cases you are chayev, because what?
Yeah, it's a word.
Correct, it creates a word. So you see that according to the Rambam, in Hilchas Ksiva, in Meleches Ksiva, creation of a word is a very, very prominent, a very central concept, very fundamental concept. And we can go one step further and say, according to the Rambam, if writing a word is so critical and plays such a heavy role, it doesn't mean you have to write a word, but if you wrote two letters, and let's say they're two different letters, then two different letters could elsewhere form a word, because the shortest word in the Hebrew language is two letters. So that would be very sharp, according to the Magen Avos, that the Magen Avos says, why did the Mishnah go out of its way and say Kosev Shtei Osios? And the answer is because the Mishnah wanted to tell you that less than two Osios is not a Malacha, because one letter could never ever form a word. It's not like in other languages where you could have a word from one letter.
Really, what is it? It only has to form a word. One letter is a number.
Huh. Well, you're talking in Lashon Kodesh.
Yeah.
So that's not called Meleches Kosev. That's a different Malacha. That's called Meleches Roshem. Okay. So that's not for us now, but keep it in mind. You know that it could be that a letter that represents a number is Chayav Mishum Meleches Roshen. Now again, Roshen doesn't appear on the list of 39, which is a problem, but that's not our problem today. You know, we're not here to solve all the problems. As I told you, that would take at least a decade.
If two letters that are the same don't make a word, you don't count.
You're not chayav.
How about if two letters that you write that aren't the same don't make a word? What happens?
Right, so the Rambam is saying that since two letters forms the potential to create a word. In other words, there are words in Lashon Kodesh made up of two, so that was the shear. When the Torah wanted to determine what was the shear of Kosev, it answered the question, what could possibly give you the tools to create a word? And that's two letters. So since one letter is not even a tool, it's not an agent to create a word, because there is no word out of one letter, therefore that's not called Meleches Kosev, and here we can add the Magen Avos, that therefore this Chatzi Shir is not the universal Chatzi Shir, where you did a Malacha, and you violated the Averi, just you didn't do a Shir, but here you have no Malacha at all. That's the language of the Magen Avos. So therefore, I didn't get to my punchline, sorry Al. So therefore, maybe we could reconcile the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. That's what I wanted to suggest. The Bavli says in Rabbi Gamliel is Ein Yedia Lechatzi Shir. The Yerushalmi says Ein Yedia Lechatzi Malacha. It could be the following, that perhaps the Bavli is talking about all Malachas, not honing in on specific Malachas. And as a general rule, if you do less than a shear, for example, if you carry or you cook a half a grogeres, that's called chatzi shear. The exception to the rule now becomes Kosev, and that's what the Yerushalmi is talking about. The Yerushalmi explicitly mentions Kosev. And you wrote only one letter, says Yerushalmi and Rav Gamliel, Ein Yedia L'chatzi Malacha. Why is that called L'chatzi Malacha? Because one letter is not even a Malacha. So the Magid Avos here, I think, would be very helpful. I'm not sure that the Totzos Chaim was aware of the Magid Avos. I don't know.
I think Mitch's
question, go ahead.
I think Mitch's question, if I interpret it correctly, is are you over if you wrote two different letters that do not make up?
Correct again.
So once they have the criteria, then that's it.
What I'm suggesting is that where does the number two come from?
No, I understand that.
So I'm saying number two comes from the potential of taking two letters and making a word out of it. Before the Rambam, I would have said making a word is totally irrelevant to Meleches Ksiva. It has no place in Meleches Ksiva. But from the fact that the Rambam says that repeating a letter you're not chayev unless those two letters form a word, and he gives you seven examples where you can repeat the same letter, and you see that the Rambam holds that creating a word plays a role within the general broad context of Ksiva. That's all.
Yeah, that's right. That's smarter. And then once that smarter is there, then even if you produce in fact two letters that don't make a word, it doesn't matter.
Correct, because again, it's just creating a shear of two letters. The Rambam is saying that one letter might not be a malach at all, because one letter doesn't even give you any potential to create a word. Two letters is great, because that gives you the potential to create something that's a word, even though you didn't create a word. Okay. Now we're in the Totzos Chaim, and he writes the following. Hine, or I would have said hare, you know. Hine de mikri rak chatzi molacha velo chatzi shir. The Yerushalmi calls chatzi shir a chatzi molacha. He doesn't call it chatzi shir. He says ulefi masha kasavti, and I had mentioned in the previous paragraph the Rashbam. Again, I hope you underlined the Rashbam in the previous paragraph. Hatam, why is it that Yerushalmi implements the phrase Chatzi Malacha? They came in the Avi Chatzi Shir, Eina Malachas Machsheves. The Rashbam's point, the flag that he waves says on it, Malachas Machsheves. It's got to be Chashuva. And less than a Shir is not a Malacha Chashuva. It has no significance to it. It's insignificant. Memela Avi Chatzi Malacha, Debeli Malachas Machsheves, Lav Malachahu. Those last six words, or I don't know how many they are, that's something that you should underline and highlight and memorize. No, I'm not joking, because that contains the essence of this entire essay. That without Meleches Machsheves, it's not a Malacha. You could talk about Chatzi Shir lacking in a Shir, but now we're talking about Chatzi Malacha lacking in a Malacha. And now, take a look what he adds. I have it in brackets in my edition. Yeah, I have a more advanced edition than you do. I should have photocopied mine, but it has a watermark on it, so I didn't want to, it's very hard to read mine. And he writes in parentheses, Yesh l'chalik ben shir grogeres l'shir shtei osios l'ksiva v'ein kan makomo. He tempts you, he whets your appetite, but I think, if I'm not mistaken, the hint here is to the Svara of Rav Mordechai Benet of the Magen Avos, that there's a difference between Chatzi Grogeres, when you did the entire Malach on that Chatzi Grogeres, that's called a Chatzi Shir, as opposed to Ksivas Os Achas, where the Shtei Osios define the Malach, and less than Shtei Osios is not a Malach at all. Ulam Gamba Bavli. Now let's go back to the Bavli. The Bavli says in Rav Gamliel, Ein Yedia Le, who can help me out here? L'chatzi Shir. Okay, who, that becomes problematic for whom, Rabosai? Please help me here. Otherwise, I think I'm talking to the wall. Again, who is the one who said that less than a Shir is not a Malach at all? Because it's lacking in Meleches Machsheves. That was the Rashbam. Okay, you got to get this down, because Rabosai, if we're going to meet on a regular basis, I'm hoping that we'll accumulate knowledge. Knowledge is cumulative. We got to build from Koma Aleph to Koma Bet. So I have to make sure Koma Aleph. Again, if I was a very rich person, I would donate to the ELC a blackboard. That would cost me millions of shekels, right? I'm being a little facetious here, but If anyone wants to, you know, we can make a dedication on it. I mean, we can make a big thing about it. You know what I'm saying? If somebody's yard site or whatever. It probably costs about 100 shekel. It's not like a major investment.
What's this?
Yeah, but how do you hang it up? And where can we put it? And how do I use it? And so forth and so on. Okay. In any event, if this works, Jeff, I mean, maybe you'll find something. So just write on it that according to the Rashbam, you don't even have to write that, just write Rashbam with a little line after it, is Chatzi Shir ain't a malacha. So if Chatzi Shir is not a malacha, that's not Chatzi Shir in the classical sense. Why does the Bavli say that Rav Gamliel is talking about Yedil Chatzi Shir and Yedil Chatzi Shir? Says the Totzos Chaim Ulam, however, Gam Mia Bavli ain't Raya Lehepuch. Don't let the thought cross your mind that the language of the Bavli, the Gemara in Shabbos Kufhei, undermines the Shita of Rav Gamliel of the Rashbam. Oh, this is brilliant. I get very excited about this. Anybody want to take a stab at this without looking? Why would the Rashbam not be impressed by this kasha? How could the Bavli say, ain't you deal a chatzi shir? It's not chatzi shir, it's not even a chatzi malacha. The Yerushalmi is much more appropriate. How would he justify the language of the Bavli without having to concede his position that chatzi shir is not even a malacha? All right. So we'll let the Totzos Chaim do the work. But it's absolutely brilliant what he's about to say. The Hasham Mairi Li'acher Shegomar Hashir. Rabosai, how many OCLs did he write? B'shogeg. Two. He wrote two. He only found out about it piecemeal, one at a time. Certainly there's a Meleches Machsheves here. When does the Rashbam say that it's not even a Melech, it's not Meleches Machsheves? That's only because he implemented Chatzi Shir. Our case is where he implemented the full Shir. He only found out about it piecemeal. That's called Chatzi Shir in the language of the Gemara. The Gemara uses the term Chatzi Shir to convey the message that he only found out about one letter that he wrote, and only later on he found out that he wrote the second letter as well. But the first letter is called Chatzi Shir. Now you're asking me, how can it be called Chatzi Shir? It's not even a malach. The answer is it is a Chatzi Shir, because in fact he wrote two letters. So he implemented the entire Shir of Meleches Ksiva. He only found out about it piecemeal, and he found out about the first Os on Sunday, and then on Monday somebody reminded him that he wrote another Os. Each Os is a Chatzi Shir. Why is it a Chatzi Shir? Each Os is only a Chatzi Malach. The answer is because he implemented the entire Shir. He wrote two Osios. He only found out about each Os piecemeal. And therefore, that's called Chatzi Shir. Does anybody know what we're saying over here? I see blanks. I mean, you guys should... Again, you know, I'm very spoiled from my upbringing. I mean, if I said this... You should be literally kissing me and hugging me and dancing with me. I mean, this is unbelievable. This is a brilliant chiddush here.
but it seems to me that statement, all it's doing is telling you that a chatzi shir is mitzaref to another chatzi shir. But it's not telling you that's the main point there. It's not telling you that a chatzi shir is awesome in a Torah. It's just telling you that.
Correct.
You know, a chatzi shir is not awesome.
Correct.
In a Torah, but they're mitzaref. So when they
don't ask a kash on the Rashbam, well, how can the Gemara use the term chatzi shir when it's a chatzi malach? The answer is, it's a full malach because he wrote both the letters. He only found out about it one letter at a time. So that's when the Gemara uses the term Chatzi Shir. But don't universalize and draw the mistaken conclusion, says the Rashbam, that any time he wrote one Os, he violated Chatzi Shir. He didn't violate Chatzi Shir. There's no Malach at all, according to the Rashbam. Because it's not Malach HaChashuva.
But then it wouldn't be Mistarev.
Right, we're talking about Rav Gamliel now. I mean, everything here is Rav Gamliel. You know, the kasha was, if Rav Gamliel wants to impress us that yediyah doesn't register, that's called ein yediyah l'chatzi shir. He should have said ein yediyah l'chatzi malacha, according to the Rashbam. That's a much more fundamental way of expressing the idea that his yediyah is meaningless. He didn't even find out that he did a malacha. So the answer is, why didn't the Gemara go so far in the Bavli and be more dramatic about it and say he didn't even find out about a malacha? The answer is he did a malacha. He found out about, you know, each piece of the malacha at a different time, and that's called En Yedia L'Chatzi Shia. Now, I wanted to suggest that perhaps we could defend Rashi in the light of the Yerushalmi. The Tosfos Chaim wants to say in parentheses, maybe Ksiva is different, and Yerushalmi's Ein Yedia L'Chatzi Malacha is a phraseology used specifically about Meleches Kosev. But I just want to think out loud with you for a moment. Maybe we could offer even a better explanation or justification for Rashi, why the Yerushalmi says Ein Yedia L'Chatzi Malacha. After all, Rashi would hold that it's a Chatzi Shir, not a Chatzi Malacha. Rashi never bought into this whole concept of Meleches Machsheves, and Chatzi Shir is a Chisaron, is lacking in Meleches Machsheves, not in Malacha. Rashi didn't accept it. So what's Ein Yedia L'Chatzi Malacha? So I wanted to suggest the following. Rabbi Yochanan at the end of Yuma says Chatzi Shir Asim in a Torah. Why? The Gemara offers two possible explanations for Rabbi Yochanan. One is Chazilitz Tarufe, and the other is Kol Chelev. So the Rishonim ask, what does he derive from Kol Chelev? Maybe the Torah says that in the case of Chelev, you violate the Isur B'chatzi Shir. Kol Chelev, any Chelev, even less than a Kezayis. And yet, according to that explanation of the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan derives a universal principle in all Isurim of Chatzi Shir Asim in HaTorah, whether it be Nevela, whatever it might be. Apparently, Rabbi Yochanan learned Kol Chelev as some sort of general concept called Chatzi Shir. I'll give you an example. The Rishonim who hold that if you eat Chatzi Shir of Nevela together with Chatzi Shir of Chelev, you're Chayev. Now normally two different Isurim cannot be Mitztaref to form a Shir. The answer is, we're not talking about two different Isurim. We're not talking about Chelev and Nevela. We're talking about Kol Chelev. We're talking about Chatzi Shir. Chatzi Shir is a new entity. Chatzi Shir has no specific identity. It's not anchored. It's not related. Restricted to one particular Isur. If a person eats Chatzi Shir of Chelev, he violates Chatzi Shir. If he eats Chatzi Shir of Nevela, he violates Chatzi Shir. If he eats Chatzi Shir of Dam, he violates Chatzi Shir. In all cases, it doesn't matter what the Isur is, it's all Chatzi Shir. For example, the Poskim say, I'm not saying everyone agrees with this, that if you have a Chole, let's say he has to eat on Yom Kippur, and the only available food is Macholas Asuros, or for that matter, a Chole even not on Yom Kippur. So normally we have a principle of Machilino Soakal Kal Tchila. So for example, if there's Chelev on the table and there's Nevela on the table, we're going to feed him Chelev. I'm sorry, we're going to feed him Nevela and not Chelev, if all things are equal, if there's no risk to his health. Why? Because Nevela is Kal and Chelev is Chomer. Nevela is a regular lav and incurs a Chiv Malkus. Chelev is a Chiv Kares. It's an Iser Chomer. So we'll give him Kal Kal Tchila. What happens if we have half a Zayas of Chelev on the table and half a Zayas of Nevela on the table? So they say in such a case it doesn't matter. Just give him whatever you want. Why? Because there's no difference between this Chatzi Shir and that Chatzi Shir. It doesn't take on the complexion. It's not defined as a subcategory of Nevela, a subcategory of Chelev. This is not Chelev and this is not Nevela. Chatzi Shir is not. It's just a new din that's derived from an extra word called Chatzi Shir Asim in HaTorah. In other words, it's a faceless Isur, which is called in the jargon of Lumdus, it's called an Isur Klali. It's not an Isur Mesuyam, it's an Isur Kloli. Comes along Rabbi Gamliel, swinging back to Shabbos Daf Kufei, and he says the following. You know what a yediyah? You know when a yediyah could register? When you violate this specific isur. You're going to be chayev a carbon chatos because of the tziruf of two yediyahs. What isur did you violate? Advi to show you. The isur of Shabbos. The isur of Shabbos? That's not a yediyah. Why? Because your yediyah is a chatzi malacha. What do I mean by a chatzi malacha? The Gemara in the Yerushalmi uses literally the term chatzi malacha to indicate that the basis for Rabbi Yochanan, I'm sorry, the basis for Rabbi Gamliel is the fact that although chatzi shir osim in Torah, which is Rashi Shita, so for example, he wrote one os, then he violated the isur, says Rabbi Gamliel, what isur did he violate? He violated a generic Isur, a faceless, anonymous Isur called Chatzi Shir. That's not going to be Machayev from a carbon. What's Machayev from a carbon for Shogeg is that he violated the Shabbos. That's called a Malacha. The Gemara in Yerushalmi deliberately calls it a Chatzi Malacha to convey the Yesoda Yesodos that analyze the Shita of Gamliel. And that is that although there may be Chatzi Shir,
but it is something.
And Chatzi Shir is something and very serious to be reckoned with, because that's Rashi Shita, the Chatzi Shir Osim HaTorah, even a Malacha, but nevertheless, it's not a Malacha. It's a generic Iser, a violation of Chatzi Shir. That doesn't kick in to generate a Chiyuv Shogeg for Melech HaShabbos. It's got to be a Melech HaShabbos. The idea has to be a idea that I violated a Malacha. And the reason for that is because Malacha has the specific, unique character or personality of Shabbos. And then you could say he was a shogeg on Shabbos, he violated, desecrated the Shabbos b'shogeg, and he has to bring a carbon for that. But he never got a yediyah on a Malacha. He got a yediyah on a Chatzi Shir. Wonderful. Chatzi Shir is a terrible thing. And it's awesome in our Torah. And we pass it like Rabbi Gamliel, like Rabbi Yochanan. But it's an Isur Kloli. It's not an Isur Shabbos. That's the machlokas here at the end of Perek HaBoneh between the Chachamim and Rabbi Gamliel. The Chachamim say, where is it on Kufhei? Yesh Yediyah. What's the language? Yesh Yediyah L'chatzi Shir, correct?
Yesh Yediyah.
Yesh Yediyah L'chatzi Shir. Why? Because the Rabbanon understand that Chatzi Shir is an Isur Shabbos. Chatzi Shir always takes on the personality of that particular Isra, had he done it Bashir Sholem. He's in violation of Shabbos. If he finds out a Yediyah that he's in violation of a Chatzi Shir Shabbos, that's called the Yediyah. That registers in and of itself. It can never be mitzurf to the second Yediyah. And therefore he's potter. Rav Gamliel says no. He needs a Yediyah not on on some sort of generic Isra Kloli called Chatzi Shir. Rav Gamliel understands that Chatzi Shir is an Isra Kloli. It doesn't have the unique complexion of a violation of Shabbos. So Chatzi Shir is not a yediyah, it doesn't register. What we need is a Chatzi Malacha. And here, a Chatzi Shir does not qualify as a Chatzi Malacha. Why? Because a Chatzi Shir is an Iser Kloli. Alright, let's go on. אבל אם לא יהיה רק חצי שיר דלוהבי מלאכס מחשבת שוב אינו רק חצי מלאך. According to the Rashbam, חצי שיר is a חצי מלאך. Then he writes, ויעין לכם משנה פרק חוף א' מלכה שבס הלכה א' וראה ברמם פרק י' בייז מלכה שבס הלכה תס. So I didn't get a chance to look in the Lechem Mishnah. If anybody can do that for me, I would be appreciative. But I did get a chance to see the Rambam in Perek Yud Beis Halacha Tes. Says the Rambam, Ein hamotzi mershus l'shus chayev ad sheyotzi kishir hamoil. The Rambam says, Yinat chayev for a hotzah, unless you emotzi a meaningful shir. Then the Rambam says, V'yakor mirshus zu, v'yaniach mirshus shniach. Avol im okar v'lo iniach, o iniach v'lo okar, o shahotzi pochus mikashir pot. The Rambam, in one breath, combines two different, what we would have assumed were two different, fundamentally different cases. One is a case where he didn't complete the malacha. He did the akir without the hanocha, vice versa. The other case is where he did the malacha, but he only did it on pachos mikashir. And the Rambam swallows it in one breath. Clearly, in the case of akar v'lo iniach, or vice versa, there's no malacha. He didn't complete the malacha. And yet the Rambam, in the same breath, talks about hotzi pachos mikashir. Seemingly, agreeing with the Rashbam, that chatzi shir is not a malach at all. It's like akar v'loi niach. It's a chatzi malacha, supported by the language of the Yerushalmi that we spoke about before. Furthermore, the Rambam says potter. If you open up to Perek Aleph Milchus Shabbos, the Rambam says that any time I use the word potter, I mean it's potter. It's mutar min haTorah ve'asur min rabbanon. So it means that chatzi shir is asur min rabbanon. The Rambam himself paskins the Hilchos Machlokes so like Rav Yochanan. The chatzi shir is asur min haTorah. Why does he say here in a chatzi shir of Meleches Hotzah that it's potter, meaning it's mutar min haTorah, but it's only asur min rabbanon? The answer is he must maintain, like the Rashbam, that half of a shir is half of a malacha. And if it's half a malacha, then on a Torah level, he didn't violate anything, and there's no rule of chatzi shir asur min haTorah. Now there is a Sfas Emes, by the way, who's of the opinion that according to the Rambam, chatzi shir mutar min haTorah, because the Rambam writes that if you eat a chatzi zayis of chametz, then you're chayav because of a special yalfusa. The Torah says lo ye ochel afilu chatzi shir. Apparently, universally, you would be potter for chatzi shir, but the Sfas Emes l'chor is not right. I mean, all the poskim, all the achronim disagree with the Sfas Emes. The Rambam holds a chatzi shir is also min haTorah. The reason why he needs a pasuk for chatzi shir in chametz is because, adarav, in the case of chametz, the Torah creates an iser mesuyam of chametz. There's a separate lav on chatzi shir of chametz. With regard to all other chatzi shirs, It's a generic Iser of Chatzi Shir. It's an Iser Klali. But in any event, let's assume for our purposes, which is certainly the premise of the Tol Tzolos Chaim here, that the Rambam Shita Zah Chatzi Shir is also in a Torah. How then could he say that if you carried a Chatzi Shir from one Rishus and put it down in another Rishus, you're only in violation of a Durabbanon? Oh, Potter of Allah Subhanahu Chatzi Shir is also in a Torah. Apparently he holds that less than a Shir at Shabbos is not a Malacha. In which case the Rambam belongs to the same camp as the Rashbam. Hine, he writes, Kolal, the Rambam included, Akira below Hanocha, Impachos Mikashir. The Rambam combined the two. And here we have to add, and he also said it's Potter, which means he only violated the Rabbanon. V'zeh morek moshe kasavti, the kol chatzi shir b'shabes, havi chatzi melacha, ke'akira b'lo anocha, mishum chisaron meleches machsheves.
So then if it's chatzi shir, when we're talking about, they only made the akira, not an anocha, but then later on in the day...
Well, I wouldn't call it chatzi shir, Alan. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I'm being very pedantic about it, but it's chatzi malacha.
Okay, right, yeah. Now, if it's a chatzi malacha, once it's declared a chatzi malacha, it's a nothing.
Correct.
Once it's a nothing, it can never be starved of anything else.
Well, I'm not sure if I know what you mean. There are laws of tziruf even in chatzi shir. Let's say, for example, he carries it and then he goes back and carries it. I don't know if that's what you're talking about. Those kind of scenarios? I mean, there are cases where if you do it within a certain context, a certain time period...
For instance, if you add a chatzi shir of chela,
yeah,
and then you add a chatzi shir of some other iser, okay? Not chela, but something else.
Right. Of dam, of the veil, or whatever it might be.
There it started.
Right.
Okay, but what about if you made an akira with one object and you made a hanocha with a different object?
So that's a different issue over there. That's because...
But each one is a nothing.
Right. But I don't think you have to come on to that, Alan. Forget about each one is a nothing. You don't even have to get involved in the issues of how to define chatzi shir in Meleches Hotzah. Leave that all out. Hotzah means that you... That you are motzi you emotzi an object. That object has to have a certain shear to it. Because Melech HaShabbos is totally focused on the object.
Right.
And that's a little bit more advanced than what we've been doing till now. You know, in the case of Chelev and Dam, we couldn't care less, you know, whether Chelev was eaten or wasn't eaten. What we care less is that you ate it.
Right.
So if you ate this and you ate that, so you ate a full shear. Even though this was Dam and this was Chelev, we can create an Issur Kloli of Chatzi Shear. But in the case of Shabbos, each Moloch has to be done on an object. And I did a tikkun, I somehow upgraded or changed the object. You know, the fact that I did a tikkun on this object and I did a tikkun on that object, that's not going to help me. So, for example, I can do a tefirah of one tefirah on Beged A, and then I can do a tefirah of another tefirah on Beged B. That's not going to help me. You know, he needs a tefirah that creates shtei tefirahs. You know, the shtei tefirahs is one.
And
it's one entity.
And in Ksiva, if you wrote a letter with one pen, and you wrote with a different pen, that was
once again, the malach is the ksav, not the pen that you write with. You know, that's only you can harvest with one sickle and then another piece of wheat with another sickle. That's fine. You know, the object or the instrument is not relevant. Then he says the ayin bekovetz shom. So look, if there's someone who's willing to do a little bit of homework, you know, if we could do this as a team effort, I would ask them to look up the Lecha Mishnah that he refers to, that's Perek Chaf Aleph, Mehilcha Shabbos Halacha Aleph, and to look up the Sefer HaKovetz in Perek Yud Beis Halacha Tes. The Kovetz, by the way, is published here in the Rambam Frankel edition. So you have it right here on the table. The Lecha Mishnah is also published in any Rambam, so I'm not asking for too much. I see already six volunteers, so I have to choose one of you. So okay. Then he writes Vinire. Now in my edition, it's a separate paragraph. In yours, also in a separate paragraph. It should say Gimel.
Yeah.
Okay. Now Rabosai, I see that it's already after 1 o'clock. And what we're about to embark upon is perhaps the most fascinating analysis of, but very, it's not for 10 minutes. So let's use this 10 minutes as sort of an introduction to give some of the basic concepts. Okay. There's a malacha called Zorea, which literally means he takes a seed and he plants it in the ground. Now, let's say he takes a shasil, how do you say that in English? You know, a piece of a tree, how would you call that?
Cutting?
No, a sapling, what do you call it? You know, when you put it into the ground. It's a tree. Let's say you cut down a tree,
a plant,
but you still have...
A plant?
Okay, maybe a plant, I don't know. But there's a more specific word that I'm looking for. Anyway, that's called Meleches Noteah. Now, again, Zorea and Noteah are almost identical. The difference is that Zorea is in Zroim, in seeds, and Noteah is in Ilanos, is in trees. You take a bit of a tree, I don't know what the word is, I can't figure it out now, it's called Shasil in Hebrew, and you mash seal that shasil in the ground. That's called notea. In both cases, you're basically seeding and you're causing growth. There's a third case which is called markiv. Markiv means when you cut down a tree and you replant it in another place. Grafting, I think it's called. Because you don't even have to cut down the tree, you can cut down just a branch of a tree.
Right, that's a cutting. That's what I meant.
Right. So all this is again another expression of Meleches Orea. Then is another category which is a little bit more tricky, and that's called Zomer, which in English I think is called pruning, in which case you really cut down branches, you don't replant the branches, but you increase the productivity of the tree by cutting down certain branches that are sap, that are robbing the tree of its sap. You know, they're
parasites,
exactly. That was the word. So the Rambam in Perek Zayin Milchas Shabbos Halacha Gimel, which is quoted here in Os Gimel, is of the opinion that all of these are called Avos Malachos. Now, when you classify something as an Av, it has tremendous repercussions, because it gives birth to Toldos, and it changes the whole law of Shogeg and Chatas, and how many Chatas you bring. So you have to trust me on this. As we get into Shabbos a little bit more, we'll appreciate more and more the significance of classifying something as an Av. Now, Rashi rejects the Rambam. And even before we get into, you know, the Sheet of Rashi, which is on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, Dira Maskel Kulon, we automatically know intuitively why Rashi would reject the Rambam. How many Avos do we have? There's a magic number, 39. We spent a lot of time on this. There are 39. That's a secret number. According to the Rambam, there are a lot more than 39. But in any event, Rashi himself apparently is very complicated, because instead of rejecting the Rambam outright and taking Noteya and Markiv and Zomer and so forth off the list of Avos, what he does is he plays a certain game. He's willing to accept the Rambam on one hand and reject the Rambam on the other hand. And basically, Rashi is willing to tell us that Noteya and Markiv are Avos. Now he's jacking the number up just as the Rambam did. But Zomer, he says, is a Toldo. So the Totzos Chaim goes ballistic over here, over this Rashi. Rashi, you should take a stand. Either you accept the Rambam, and we could add and you know, beef up the number of Avos beyond 39, and you should add Zomer to the list, as the Rambam does. Or, if you have a fundamental problem with beefing up the numbers, then you should have rejected the Rambam as far as Noteya and Markiv is concerned. Why do you admit that Noteya and Markiv are Avos, but you argue that Zomer is a Tolda and not an Av? And the Totzos Chaim says that Rashi is going to force us to take a position in which we have to analyze almost in a, you know, in a laboratory, you know, with the electroscanning microscope, the similarity between two activities. And Rashi is saying that if the similarity is great, two things are, the dimyon is very powerful, there's only a hair's breadth of difference between the two, then they're all Avos. But if the two actions are radically different one from the other, then one is an Av and the other is a Tolda. Meaning that when we analyze under the microscope Noteya and Markiv, that those are actions that are very similar to Zorea. You're putting something in the ground. What are you putting in the ground? Okay, you're not putting a seed in the ground. Instead, you're putting a branch. You're grafting another tree. You're taking a sapling and putting it in the ground, a plant, okay? It's all different forms of the same pu'ula, the same action, which is called Zorea. And therefore, they're all Avos. But says Rashi, when I get to Zomer, Zomer falls short. Because in Zomer, instead of putting something into the ground, what am I doing? I'm taking something out of the ground. Now, what I just shared you with, which I probably am going to punish myself for doing it, is the next long, long paragraph of the Totzos Chaim. I already gave away the secret, but hopefully by next time you'll forget it, so then I can start again. But we'll see exactly how the Totzos Chaim comes to this conclusion. And again, the language is the following: Yesh lefaresh the Rambam v'Rashi l'tadmayu, the machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam about Chatzi Shir, where the Rambam agrees to the Rashbam that Chatzi Shir is a Chatzi Molocha, and Rashi maintains that Chatzi Shir is Chatzi Shir also in a Torah, is really a duplicate, if you will, a mirror image of a different machlokas between the Rambam and Rashi. Because the Rambam says that Noteya, Markiv, and Markiv, and Zomer, Kulon, Avos, Molochasein, why should call Echem, Mehem, Litzameach, Dover, Humiskavin? Essentially, in all these different activities, he's doing the same thing. He wants to encourage growth. Encouraging growth is called Noteya, which is Zorea, which is exact, by the way, opposite of Kotzer. Kotzer means destroying growth. Umavur, it's clear from the Rambam that Zomer is an Av. Ach Rashi b'Shabbos daf Ayin Gimel Amid Beis Dibra Maskil Kulon writes v'Noteya Nami Av. Rashi admits that Noteya is an Av. He's on the same radar screen as the Rambam, but then he says Aval Zomer Toldo V'Dover Tzarech Iyun. I don't understand Rashi. Rashi is inconsistent. The time with the Rambam Zal did Oteo Markiv Umavrich Havit Ovos. Okay, this we once had a discussion about that. What happens if you find a Malacha Chashuva that's not in the Mishkan? Can we still jack it up to the status of an Av? The Ram holds yes. The Rav Magid is going to say that the underlying principle of the Ramam is that anything that's Chashuv, even if it wasn't in the Mishkan, is an Av. But that's only because Mishum D'domo L'Melechas HaMishkan B'Dimyon Gomor, that the comparison, the similarity, is absolutely, absolutely profound. And therefore it's an Av. The Ayin Shav B'Kesef Mishnah, the Haramach, that's called Rabbi Shekohen, he was at the end of the period of the Rishonim, he couldn't accept this, Shelo Avi Av Kol Shelo Avi B'Mishkan. If it wasn't in the Mishkan, it's not an Av. So again, we have a fundamental machlokas here as to whether or not we can count something that has a dimyon gomor to the malach that was done in the Mishkan and count it as upgraded to the level of an Av. No, so when we get to Rashi now, we're in trouble. Is that Mimarafshach? Rashi has to take a stand one way or the other. Im sover Rashi zal de zomer told the why. Mishum de lo avi mimishkan. In other words, Mishkan is a precondition to an Av. Vishuv gam no teo mavrich lehevi told us, because no teo mavrich were not in the Mishkan. Al karchach de sover Rashi ke Rambam. Rashi agrees to the Rambam. Namely, de sagi be dome. B'dimyon gomur l'melechas ha-mishkan. As long as it's similar to melechas ha-mishkan in a very strong, profound way, that's enough to upgrade it to the status of an Av. In came my time of the nechluku b'zomer. So why did Rashi reject the Rambam with regard to Zomer? What are you going to tell me? That Zomer wasn't in the Mishkan? So Markiv and Otea was also not in the Mishkan, and yet Rashi agrees that those are avos. Ella what? Even if it wasn't in the Mishkan, if there's a dimyon gomur, that's enough to make it into an Av. So then why not apply the same logic to Zomer? Zomer is also, as the Rambam describes it, Kidei Latzmiach Es HaDovru Miskaven. Why is he pruning this tree? Why do we pay so much money to the gardeners to prune our trees? Every country is a little different, but, you know, in America, for example, you know, people pay, you know, the rich people, not me, but they pay endless amounts of money to pay a gardener to prune the bushes. I mean, it's mind-boggling what you see in private homes that are surrounded by. So pruning is a beautiful malacha. Rashi should have agreed to upgrade it to the status of an Av. Now, in the next paragraph, in Nira, he breaks new ground. And this paragraph in Nira, let me just see your copy. I just want to see if you have it as a separate paragraph. You don't have it. So I need you to make... I need two favors from you. Number one, to make some sort of a sign on your page. And number two, to promise me that you won't lose the page. And I think the second request is a lot more challenging for you than the first one. Because I don't know. Nobody keeps my pages. But in this case, if we're going to work together on Hilchos Shabbos, we got to create some sort of portfolio, because we're going to constantly have to be referring back to this, and this Totzos Chaim is going to occupy our minds for at least another hour, if not more than that. All right, so we'll stop here. And